granny said, I believe that's our ring.
I don't get Lum, I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, jot 'em down, store. This is Lum and Abner.
Going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, as we look in on the little community today, we find Lum and Abner at the hotel discussing Lum's newest predicament. Listen.
Grannies, I don't know what to do. If Miss Emmeline comes over here tomorrow and goes to that reception we're giving for Trixie, it'll just about end up in a hair pulling.
Well, now, Lum, which one are you aiming on taking to the reception, Miss Emmeline or Trixie?
Well, that's what's bothering me.
Well, it better bother you.
I've got to work it some way or other to where they'll both think I brung them.
Well, now, Lum, you better make up your mind which one of them you're going to be with and just come right out flat-footed and then tell the other that you can't be with her. Though you can't be in love with two girls at once.
I can't bring myself to do it.
Well, you better. You're going to get in trouble.
No, it's going to break somebody's heart.
Well, Lum, you know if Miss Emmeline comes all the way over here tomorrow, she's going to expect you to be with her at the doings tomorrow night.
Yeah, but I've already told Trixie I'd take her.
Yeah.
You know, there's drawbacks to being such a favorite amongst the women folks. I found that out. I wished I wasn't so personality, so many women folks would get themselves in love with me at the same time.
Well, you better be making up your mind betwixt them. That's what you better do, and let the other one go.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Sick?
Just go to bed and stay there till day after tomorrow. Then I won't have to take neither one of them.
Now, don't you do nothing like that now, Lum. You was the one that thought up this idea, give him a reception for Trixie.
I never done no
such thing. You did done it?
She thought of it herself.
Well, I don't care who thought of it. You ain't going to leave me with all the work to do. Especially after all these new guests started coming in. Bogey, this place is filling up, you know it. And there's more letters there wanting reservates, too.
Yeah, that advertisement I sent to all the newspapers is what's fetching them off here.
And Bogey, they're coming in. That traveling drummer checked out this morning, but that still leaves that man, his wife, and them two young'uns, and then them two old maids on the first floor, and then them three fellas that come in from Chicago this morning in that airplane.
Yeah, Granny, we're sort of getting uptownish having guests drop in here in airplanes.
So
anxious to get here, they have to fly.
Yeah. Well, they must have plenty of money. Have my airplane fetch them clean down here.
Oh, you can tell that by looking at them.
Yeah, they're rich, no doubt about it.
Well, they're dressed up. I'd say they's all 3 millionaires.
Yeah.
Thousandaires, anyway.
Why, sure. You know that feller that drove them down here in that airplane, he just let them out and turned right around and flew right back to wherever they come from.
Yeah, I wish he'd have stayed here a while and loved to have took a ride in that thing.
In an airplane?
Yes, sir, I'd do it.
Oh, Lum, you wouldn't know such a
thing. I tried once.
You wouldn't get up off the ground, you know.
I would done it.
Well, if I rid in one of them, I wouldn't put my full weight down, I'll tell you that.
If he comes back after him, I think I'll do that.
Well, how long are they aiming on staying here, anyway?
I don't know. You was at the desk whenever they come in.
Yeah, I know it. I asked them, but I couldn't get no sense out of them. One of them said they'd stay till the smoke cleared up, and then the other two just laughed about it. Just stood there and giggled at one another.
What smoke cleared up?
I don't know. I never knowed we had a forest fire or anything around here. I just allowed it might have been some kind of a joke they're getting off, so I laughed at them, too.
Maybe they're talking about the smoke from the airplane they come in on.
Well, they might have been. But at that time, I never knowed they come in the airplane. See, I never knowed that till old man Johnson come over here raising the roof about it.
Well, I don't blame him. Them landing the thing right there in his pasture, scaring the daylights out of him and his stock and young'uns.
Yeah. You know, he was telling me Jackie, that's the littlest one over there, said he clumb clean up under the house, and they just can't get him to come out from under there at all.
Well, I don't know. Liable to starve to death under there.
No, I asked him about that, and he said they'd been chucking biscuits up under the house there to him.
I hope his woman makes better biscuits than the Widder Abernathy does. If the body throwed one of hers under there, it'd about cripple a young'un for life if it were to
eat. Old man Johnson said they'd tried everything in the world to get little Jackie to come out from under there. Looked like the only thing left to do, he said, to just chop a hole in the floor and drag him out. Said they'd begged and pleaded with him and threatened him and everything else, but he wouldn't budge. Just laid clean up there again the chimney and tremble.
Oh, that's pitiful.
Poor little feller scared plumb to death.
It ain't healthy under there neither, is it?
Why, sure, I reckon it ought to be. Their hogs stay up in there all the time. Old man Johnson told me the other day, he said he never had a better batch of hogs than he's got right now.
Yeah.
Oh, it won't hurt the youngins for his health's concerned.
They give old man Johnson something for damages. I know, for I seen him do it.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever he threatened to stick the law on them, why, they couldn't pay him quick enough. Give him $20.
$20?
I seen it. Give him two $10 bills. I seen the money. He had it right there with him.
Well, if Rufe Rankins finds out about that, he'll more than likely be over here wanting some damages, too.
What's the matter with Rufe?
Why, he got pretty bad skinned up, according to what they told me down at the barbershop a while ago.
Rufe?
Yeah.
Well, he never got hit by no airplane, did he?
No, they said that Grandma Rankin, Rufe's mother that lives there with him, was going over to spend the day with Aunt Charity Spears.
Yeah, they're awful good friends.
And she's so stove up with rheumatiz, she couldn't walk.
Oh, no, she ain't walked for months. Been bedrid ever since old last summer, I reckon.
And they was using all the mules in the field, so Rufe just decided he'd put her in the buggy. And he got in the chaise and started to pull her over there himself.
Roof, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
But just as they got out of that long lane that comes there from the place, that aeroplane swooped down over them, and Roof had a runaway with himself.
Runaway?
Oh, he'd taken right out through them woods.
Huh.
Turned the buggy over and throwed Grandma Rankin about 10 foot.
Well, I do know. Yeah, Roof's awful high strung.
Oh, awful high strung.
Was Grandma bad hurt?
No, they said it never hurt her none, but Roof was running, looking back over his shoulder, you know, at the aeroplane, run right smack into a tree.
Oh, my.
Knocked himself unconscientious.
For the lamb, sakes alive. Well, I hadn't heard a word about it.
About that time, the aeroplane circled by him again. Grandma throwed Roof in the buggy and grabbed the shafts and tore out for home in a dead lope.
She did?
She done it.
Pulling the buggy herself?
Yes, sir.
And her crippled up.
Well, they said it cured her.
Cured her?
They don't know where it was the fall or the scare that done it, but she sure got Roof home in a hurry.
Well, I do know. Well, I reckon you could say them fellers did some good by coming in that airplane anyway.
Well, they're helping us, stopping here at the hotel, too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I just wonder if Trixie Van Dusen was the one that told them about this hotel.
No, I thought maybe she did, too, but I asked her, and she said she didn't even know him.
She didn't?
No.
I dog as I believe she does.
Oh, no.
She does?
Just because they're all from the same place, that ain't no sign they know one another. Chicago's a big city, you know. Everybody don't know one another there like they do here in Pine Ridge.
Well, I weren't going by that long. The reason I think she knows them, she was standing here at the desk whenever they come in this morning. And quick as they opened the front door and seen her, they all three greeted her like they was old friends. Called her Blondie.
Blondie?
That's what they said. Hello there, Blondie.
Well, that shows right there they never knowed her.
Well, I just thought at first they might be the ones she'd been sending them telegrams to.
Telegrams? What telegrams?
Why, them telegrams she got Cedric to take into the county seat for her.
Well, that's strange. She never said nothing to me about sending no telegram.
Well, she never said nothing to me about it, neither. But she had Cedric take two of them in there. One yesterday and one day before yesterday.
Well, I didn't know.
She gave him a $5 bill to send him with both times and just told him to keep the change.
Well, I'd have took him in there for her for nothing.
Well, she told Cedric she didn't want nobody to know about her sending them and made him promise not to tell nobody. But I made him tell me before I'd let him off to go into the county seat with him.
Well, what's she saying?
I don't know. I never seen them.
Then whereabouts is Cedric at?
I reckon he's still out there in the hall doing that painting. That's what he was doing.
Get him in here. Hey, Cedric. Cedric, come here a minute. Come in the office.
Lom, if there was any big words in them telegrams, Cedric couldn't have let him know how.
Well, I think she must have been sending them to her mother, for she thinks the world and all of her.
Well, I don't see what she'd be so secret about sending telegrams to her mother for.
Wait a minute. Grannies, I got it. I know now. Bless her little heart.
Huh?
I'll bet she was telling her mother how much in love with me she is. That's just about what she was doing.
Well,
bless her heart.
Must have been ashamed of it, then, if she never wanted nobody to know about her sending that.
You want to see me, Mr. Edwards?
Oh, yeah. Come in, Cedric. Don't ask me how I know about this, but you've been sending some telegrams for Miss Trixie, ain't you?
Bet you I know how you found out about it, too.
No, I never, Cedric. I never said
Well, you're invading the question here. Did you send some telegrams for Miss Trixie?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, did you, did you read them? Every one of them.
Sounds like the Justice of the Peace Court, the way you're cross-questioning him, Lone.
Did you read them telegrams, Cedric?
Well, yes, Mama, I read one of them. That and yesterday.
Mm-hmm. You ought not to did that, Cedric. That ain't good manners, reading other folks' mail, telegrams, and stuff like that. What did he say?
Oh, I couldn't make no sense out of it.
See there, I told you.
Did it say anything about being in love with me? It was sent to her mother, weren't it?
Oh, I don't know. If her ma's name was Charlie, it was.
Pa?
Well, what did it say?
Oh, something other about, let's see, lay out here perfect.
Huh.
Nobody won't suspect nothing, or something like that. Then she went on and said something about, have the very man for what we need. He'll do anything I say. Then she signed it, Blondie.
Blondie?
Blondie.
Well, this puts a new aspect on the romantic entanglement that Lum seems to be getting himself into. So be sure to join us again in our next regular transcribed visit, Down in Pine Ridge.